Well, like I said, when we last spoke, we were at the Toronto International Film Festival, and you were promoting the film One Week. Now we got to speak very briefly about that, but what can you tell me about One Week?
It's a very different score than City of Ember or than Journey, so it was actually very therapeutic to work on something that didn't have the large orchestral template that those other two films have. The score is, a combination of acoustic guitar, piano, backwards piano, a female voice. I used an Illion pipe as well. Just a whole mishmash, almost an eclectic ensemble of instruments. And the film itself is basically about a man who finds out he has cancer and is most likely going to die, and he decides to go on an adventure to try to live in the last few weeks of his life as opposed to spend them dying. It's quite a moving film. It's not really as much about death as it is about life and the choices we make in life and why we make them and how we might make them differently if we knew we had a finite amount of time to live.
Now you mentioned something that kind of raised my eyebrow. Backwards piano? What's that all
Yeah,
about?
it's I'm sure you've heard it before. It's basically where you take the piano part and you learn to play it backwards, and then you take the audio file and you flip it around. So you have, as opposed to this percussive hit with a sound decaying, you now have a chord coming from nowhere and having a very abrupt end. It's a really fun way to play around with different instruments, using them backwards, because the timbre is so recognizable to the ear, but the actual audio envelope is so unique and different. It takes a little while for the brain to process what's happening.
So, what influences instrument choice?
Yeah, well, in this case, the director and I talked about really wanting to feel a human aspect to the score, wanting to feel like it's a group of people in a room, like you're hearing the musicians' finger noises, you're hearing the breaths, really make it feel as human as possible. So playing around a lot with the piano and with the guitars and different kind of instruments like that, I was looking for something just a little different, some way to get across this idea that was a little more unique than just those instruments altogether. In places where there's a bit of a twist in the film, a twist in the kind of reality that we're living in, there are moments where we're much more inside the character's head and we're not sure if what we're seeing on screen is literally there or if it's a figment of his imagination. I thought taking one of those elements that is simple and very recognizable and twisting it somehow would parallel what the film is trying to say and really help me achieve what I'm trying to say with the score.
And is 1 week available to the public?
It isn't yet, actually. The film doesn't get released until March of 2009.
Okay.
So it was a bit of a sneak peek at the Toronto Film Festival. The soundtrack will be available, both score and the source music, the songs and the film, at the same time. So look for it in March.
With that in mind, because you have songs working with score and that sort of thing, how do you weave your score in with those songs, or are they kind of separate entities in and of themselves?
That's always an interesting challenge as a composer to try to figure out how the songs work within the audioscape of the music in general and where it fits with the score. And there are times where you really want the score to feel like it is in the same place as the songs, it's coming from the same place instrumentally, and even direction-wise. If it's a lot of acoustic guitar songs, sometimes you want the score to be acoustic guitar and be this recurring theme. And that certainly was one of the things we considered on 1 week. However, by the same token, we wanted people to know they were hearing the score. We wanted the score to have a different purpose than the songs. The songs very much describe the road trip, describe the music that the character is listening to, and they're very much energetic, very face value elements to the soundtrack. And the score is much more inside the character's head, and it much more scores the actual emotional journey and more philosophical journey that the character is taking. So, while we were trying to use a lot of the same instruments, I was trying to use them in a very different way that it was recognizable that when a score cue reoccurred, that we knew very early on this is score, not source. And I think it was successful. I'm glad we took that approach because it definitely feels like the score is part and parcel to the soundtrack of the film, and yet it has its own identity and its own purpose in what it's trying to say.
Well, now switching to City of Ember, and like you said, it was kind of a relief of the big from, like, 1 week was a big relief from that. But what is the appeal of a larger score?
It's a really fun medium to work in. It's fun to take this sound. The big orchestra is something that people in general feel are sort of synonymous with big films, especially adventure films. You expect to hear an orchestral score. But it's something that you never question. You know, if you're more adventurous and you use something like a sitar in a score, you're always trying to figure out how is that sitar relevant to the film? How, as a viewer, what is the connection? Why is it used? And, you know, society, certainly Western culture, has made films and orchestras, you know, they're both very much in the same category. They belong in the same place. And there's never any question why there are 15 or 20 violin players playing a theme. You never question it. It's a connection. So it's fun to sort of take that palette that the audience is very used to hearing and try to twist it a little bit and use it to your advantage. And in this case, you know, I took the orchestra and I added certain instrumental elements that you might not always hear with an orchestra, and probably the one that had the biggest impact was the Wagner horns. Hmm. Not a brass element that is normally heard in an orchestra, but except for certain, obviously, Wagner pieces and other classical pieces. This is an instrument that sounds in timbre very similar to a French horn, but has a much lower sound, and it has this amazing combination of haunting and beauty at the same time, and I really liked playing around with that timbre.
What was your approach to City of Ember?
Well, when I got hired, one of the things the director and the producer said to me was that they really wanted to make sure that we established this dark world, established the fact that this is a place in the future, but it's falling apart. Things are definitely not going well. That really worked in my favor, because when I watched it, one of the things that I wanted to make sure the score accomplished was identifying with this main character, Lena, who has this such a positive outlook on the world and is so in such contrast to everything else going around her. So the first thing I wrote was this theme called the City of Ember theme, which has this very dark, almost doomsday-like feel to it, although it's consistent. It's, you know, 6-4 time. It's rolling over. It never ends. It always, the end of each phrase kind of rolls into the next. So it has this driving nature to it that I hope was related, people would relate subconsciously to the generator, which is such a main character in this film, mm-hmm. as it just keeps going and going and going. But by establishing that in the first few minutes, the second cue in the film introduces this main character, Lena Mayfleet. And coming from such a dark place, I didn't have to hit it too far on the head, too hard to come up with this positive theme that is Lena's theme, because we were contrasting it with the dark theme that we'd heard before. So actually, in the first 4 or 5 minutes of the film, our two main themes are already established. And it was a lot of fun to sort of work with the two different sides, you know, one element which is a little more positive, a little lighter, a little more flighty, a little more uplifting, and the other side, which is very, very dark and very ominous, and sort of have the two themes play off each other in the film, was really trying to parallel what the filmmakers were trying to do.
Now, why the unusual time signature, the 6-4, as you mentioned? It's been used a few times in a few films, but what makes it 6-4 as opposed to 5-4 or 3-4 or something like that? Like, what's the choice there?
Well, it's interesting. There are places in the film where I did put it back into 4-4. Mm-hmm. I guess the biggest thing is I wanted to hold on the minor third note. So if you, the theme goes da 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 da. Da, 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 da. So basically those notes I wanted to hold, but I didn't want to hold them too long that we lost the momentum. So I found that when I tried putting it in 4-4 and holding that note for 6 beats, it was just too long. We kind of felt more like a pause than a statement. So mm-hmm. by putting it in 6-4 and only holding that note for 3 beats instead of 6, it allowed the momentum to keep going. And I don't know, it's funny, being in 6-4, it still feels quite natural. I don't think a lot of people notice it being in an unusual time signature. Now, the Lena Mayfleet theme ended up being in 5/8, which I have to say, I don't know that I'll write a lot more in 5/8 in the future. The orchestra, incredibly talented, had a hard time getting their head around this 5/8 theme. And when 100 people struggle with something, it's pretty easy to realize that it's your fault. It's the composer's fault. It's not someone's in it, but they were all struggling with it. So that, you know, a couple of people turned to me and said, will you ever write anything in 5/8 again? And I thought, I don't know. But I really like how it works, to be honest. It's in 5/8, but there are places where it goes into 6/8 and places where it goes into 4/4. And by putting it in that odd time signature, it's the one, the downbeat of each bar always sneaks up on you. It takes, you know, it's always there before you expect it. And I really like that. I like the element of not being too predictable and not being able to grasp it entirely. And, I have to say that might come from the African music that I've kind of fallen in love with, is the whole idea of trying to figure out where the downbeat is to the bar and how it sort of plays tricks on you, and your brain isn't as comfortable, but it's not necessarily uncomfortable either. It's just taking the conventional approach and twisting it a little bit.
The job of a composer is to not just work. I mean, I've heard of composers who just work by themselves alone and then only come out to speak to the director or that kind of thing. So how does that affect your music in that sort of you're isolated most of the time, but then you come out and do that? Does it change the music, or are you constantly sort of a part of a team still?
In all of these films, I've always felt an important part of the team, because you're trying to basically interpret what the director or the producers hear in their head, mm-hmm. in a way that will help with the storytelling of the film. And I think that's the key, is I'm not trying to create background sound to a scene. I'm trying to look at a film as a 90-minute piece and figure out how I can put a creative arc in the film and parallel the storytelling, help tell the story. Certainly, my isolation moments are really important for me, because I like to get direction. I like to hear that they basically want, I always say this, but they want the bus to show up in Montana. If you're driving to Montana, a bus to Montana, I'd like to figure out, choose the path to get there. I don't love being in a situation, and I don't think anyone does, where you sort of have people saying, okay, make a left, make a right, go into third gear, go into fourth gear. But I think what is most successful is when you're working with a filmmaking team where they can be very involved and say, this is what we need the music to achieve. And then you can sort of go away and come up with a solution on how you choose to achieve that, and then come back and get their input from that point on. So it's a combination of having your moments of solitude where you work away and you can try lots of different things, and then having a very close relationship with the director and the producers. And in a lot of films, the editors, too. The editors have a very strong connection to the film, and they know how music is going to affect picture, and I think that's a very valuable relationship as well.
So speaking of editors and that, how closely do you work with your music editor?
Very closely. It depends on the film. Some films don't have music editors, mm-hmm. but on both Journey to the Center of the Earth and City of Ember, I worked very closely with them. They were very helpful in figuring out how different themes would work further on down the film. And I, especially on Journey, I remember Steve Lotwiss was the music editor, and he was really helpful in that if the director really liked a certain theme at the beginning of the film and a certain theme, Steve would kind of take that theme and play around with it later on in the film and offer lots of ideas and suggestions on how it might work and what other scenes that theme might work with. So it was really fun for me as a composer to have someone else throwing ideas out like that in that sense. And speaking of it more as a conceptual thing, not talking about specific notes or trying to write music, but just saying how they saw themes working later on in a film. And it was a really great relationship, probably the first time I've ever realized the potential of that relationship.
Mm-hmm. Now, you're also known for working with Michael Dana. And
I did, yeah, for a number of years.
Yes. What is the job of the orchestrator?
Well, the orchestrator has a different job depending on the composer, But I think in this day and age, because of the nature of mock-ups, because composers need to basically create mocked-up, synthesized orchestral recordings. So basically, I'll write music and I'll, using Logic Audio and my computers and my keyboards, I'll come up with a fake orchestra sound, that this cue will sound something like this. It'll have a fake oboe and fake strings, etc. So in the old days, a lot of composers would write music on piano, and they would say to the director, oh, when this is an orchestra, it'll be great. And I sort of envision this and this. But ultimately, they would be giving the orchestrator a piano score. And the orchestrator would be making decisions like, okay, who's playing this melody? What are the other instruments doing? They would basically be expanding a simple piano part into a 80-piece orchestra. And nowadays, composers, at least in film music, need to do these mock-ups in order for people to basically hear the orchestral version of a piece before it's actually recorded by a live orchestra. Mm-hmm. So given that, I think a lot of what used to be considered orchestration is done now by the composers just by having to do the mock-ups. They're making a lot of those decisions as they go. My orchestrator is a guy named Nicholas Dodd. He's also the conductor of my orchestra sessions, and he's amazing and would be completely capable of doing that if that was called upon of him. But what I give him is I give him these mock-ups, and we have discussions about, you know, what instruments, how should we break up the strings, and what parts of the orchestra should be playing this melody. Should it be the violins or should it be the cellos, et cetera? And he has such an amazing understanding of the orchestra. He always has really great ideas and great suggestions. And in fact, I have to attribute the Wagner horn idea to him, because he heard my theme and said, you know, I think we should really consider trying the Wagner horns on this. And he and I had talked in the past about using Wagner horns on a score, but it had never been appropriate. And it was his idea to go down that road for this score, and it was a great idea.